Nick Nyack is the former chief procurement officer at the Department of Homeland Security, reviewing his top three for 2015. And Nick, in your top three, the first item you write about is that spending on the civilian side should stay stable, and most of it will occur at the end of the year, as it always does. Given the fact that we're this far into the fiscal year, do you expect maybe for some of the agencies a little bit of a burst after the first of the year, now that we have some stability, and then also a burst at the end of the year? Nick, thanks for joining me.
Yeah. First of all, pleasure joining you, Francis, as always. And I think, yeah, you've actually got it very correct, and that would mean it's pretty much, at least for the last several years, a fairly typical year, because governments for the last several years has had, the federal government has had many continuing resolutions, and typically things slow down in the first quarter, even if really there was a full year appropriation. October through December tends to be, generally speaking, a slower time for lots of different reasons. So yes, I do expect a burst of spending, maybe not probably starting in February, and this is fairly typical for the government in February, and then historically about 33% of the dollars the government gets is spent in the fourth quarter, or July through September. And that'll probably hold true. My feeling is it'll probably be even higher than 33% this year. And the only caveat, I would say, is with DHS, which is one of the top seven spending agencies, because they did not get a full year appropriation, for the reasons that we all know with respect to immigration. And it's unfortunate because it'll just slow the spending down for DHS, and they can't have any new program starts until they get the full year appropriation. The other thing I would just say with respect to spending for anybody who's doing government contracting is just keep an eye on legislation. And, unfortunately, nobody ever really knows these days what legislation is actually going to get passed. But, depending on what legislation gets passed, you will see spending in those particular areas. But it's been a roller coaster. I think it's going to continue to be a roller coaster. I think incumbents are going to do very well, as they have in the last several years. When everything gets scrunched, incumbents tend to do very well.
We'll talk about that one in just a moment. But with the emphasis that you're placing on watching the legislation, is that more important this year, do you think, than it's been in the past, Nick, to pay attention to what Congress is doing from the very start of them doing it?
It's always good to have your hand on the pulse of legislation. This year versus other years, is it more important? No, I wouldn't say so. If you just watch the news, you can sort of surmise that it's really 50-50. Either great things can happen, because you've got a president who's on his way out, and you have an entirely Republican Congress, so there's great hope for a big deal with solving all the world's all the United States issues, but there's also the possibility of very little getting done, and it's just the roller coaster that's been there for the last several years. So, your guess is as good as mine, but yes, whenever there is legislation that's passed, definitely money will sort of follow that.
The second item, you mentioned incumbents a moment ago, and your second item on the top three for 2015, Nick, is you write incumbent contractors and those with niche products or services will thrive. You explained a little bit about the incumbents and why you think they'll do well. What about the folks that have niche products or services, and will they finally have some better access to government people to let them know what they have and the innovation that's possible?
Yeah, lots of nuggets in there, Francis. And I would kind of say this. You kind of look at companies and what they're marketing to the government. You break it down into two areas, services and products. And what you see is in services, you see a lot of the same services being provided by many, many companies. And I think you're going to see companies combining, companies kind of folding, because there's just a lot of companies that are out there offering the same thing in terms of services. When it comes to products, you're going to constantly see innovation. And then in terms of innovation, you know, you kind of now it's a global world. So, I mean, innovations can occur in some other country, and then they find themselves quickly into the U.S. market. In terms of, so, yes, have a niche is that is the key to survival for a government contractor. I've seen so many government contractors who they get in, they may get some certification, or somehow they get in, they get a contract, they get up to even $100 million, and then over time, they kind of go backwards. And it's just because there are many other companies offering the very same thing, and they can do it at a lower price. And the government really doesn't give up a whole lot. There's, you know, everybody talks about innovation, but there really isn't sometimes a lot of innovation on the services side. On the product side, I think you're going to see a ton of innovation. And typically what happens, here's the big deal with innovation and selling to government. It's the transition cost, especially in the IT world. Whoever figures out how to say, I've got this IT solution that's much better, cheaper, and I can transition you from whatever it is you're doing now to this better solution at a reasonable cost, that's going to be the real innovation that drives government to make fast change and pivot quickly.
The concept of selling into government, selling innovation into government, has been tricky for some of the regular, the usual suspects, we'll call them, to try to master. How do you think that will get better or easier, if so, for folks who don't have as much experience selling into government? Do partnerships with experienced contractors become more critical, or do you see other vehicles, other ways that agencies will try to reach out to those folks and bring them into the fold, Nick?
I think it is just like any other business in the world, and it's about articulation and marketing. So, you know, this strategy of aligning yourself with some company who, and yet let's face it, there's, you know, five or six companies that do, of the $500 billion that's spent by the government, they account for about $100 billion of the $500 billion. So it's a lot. And then the top 100 companies, you know, dominate the vast majority of the $500 billion. So you could make a case, you know, go align with them, you know, get your innovation through them, and somehow it'll all work out. I don't think you need to do that. You can do that. That's a strategy that's on the table. But again, if whatever it is that you're offering, if you've had some success with it, maybe you've had it in the consumer market, and then you can articulate it to one government customer and in plain English, this is what we have, this is what you're doing, this is how this is cheaper, better, high quality, more higher quality, any of those, or you know, all of them, and you get a hook in. I think that that's the way it works with anything in the free world. You come up with some great idea, somebody likes it, they tell two friends, and it kind of works like that. So I think too much is made out of the barriers to entering government. Do something good first and innovative, and then articulate it in, you know, a paragraph or a couple of 2-3 sentences, and they'll be on your show.
Build a better mousetrap, the world will beat a path to your door, right, Nick?
And I wish there was a better analogy than a mousetrap.
Right. The third item on your list of top three for 2015 is politics will dominate, so no major procurement or acquisition reform will occur. Is that good news or bad news for agencies, and is it good news or bad news for industry?
I think it's generally neutral news. I think that the United States federal procurement system, by and large, is generally speaking the best in the world. Does it need to be reviewed to reduce burden and make it even easier for companies to connect, and not just companies to connect, but for contracting professionals to award? The answer is yes. Okay, so that needs to be done. But in order for that to be done, you need basically the legislative branch and the executive branch to come together, and we know how difficult that's been, and that's not a super high priority when you have other things like, you know, immigration reform, that are on the table. The other thing I just wanted to mention, Francis, and, you know, you mentioned top three. I'm going to add a fourth, and that really is on the people front. You know, one of the trends, when I was in government and as I was leaving government, is that the younger generation that's coming into government is leaving at an alarming rate. They're coming into government, and then they come in inspired to do good in government, and then they come in, and there's just all this nonsensical stuff that feds have to do before they actually get to do their job, the job that they're hired to do. And, you know, look, the number one reason people stay in their job is because of their boss. And I'm not sure what that says, but the feds have to do better at retaining. They're good at attracting, but you've got to retain the younger people that are coming into the government.